will benefit all of us, so that what we say varmaan, että Honor of the poliittikko jo tekemään ja oppisääntöissä ilmeisesti.
You have a, the voice of authority.
You are what I'm saying.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, that's my delegation, Chair.
Madam Chair.
much. I will take leave of your call for us to be business like. The presentation is going to be led by Lerato Mokoena, supported by George, and they will, I'm sure, while the presentation does give some background detail which you've had before, they will skim over that very quickly and get to the number of the issues. But we certainly welcome the opportunity to be able to give you feedback in terms of implementation following our presentation to you early on this year, given that the actual implementation, the start of implementation of the program in earnest was from the beginning of July this year. So we are 2.5 months into implementation, and Lerato and George will be able to give you a sense of where we are. So if I could, without further ado, hand over to Lerato to go straight into the detail, if that's okay with you, my Lord Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Excellency. My presentation, I'll go through it a bit quicker. On the background and overview, I will skip on some of the slides on those. We'll do the progress as far as national program management is concerned, the provincial program management is concerned, and then we'll give you a list of our projects and analysis, examples that we have, challenges and conclusions. Just to say that when we started with this program, it didn't start off as a SMW, as we know. But we started it with the minister in 2012 and an interim immediate water supply program, where ministers said there's a gap between where we are with NIC and Rizna Park, where the program, I think, is a bit long and come 2015. Some people might still not have water whilst we are waiting for the pipeline and the big thing. So he said, let's find something that we can give to the people in the interim. That's how the program started. And focus on the 24 GMs that have the highest backlog. The aim we have posed is that it's a short and quick-term solutions that we needed to find. We also needed to deal with functionality of problems that we are facing in the infrastructure. We also needed to be sure that we deal with source-to-test and test-to-source. This diagram only shows the alignment and integration of the programs that we're managing as a department. Where we've got your, from the left, top left, you've got your RRU and your meter intervention, where it's quick fix technical solutions for those two things. You've got what we call the ATIP, which is the Accelerated Community Infrastructure Program. It's in-house, it's not a grant. It's what we try to come in and help municipalities with it. It concentrates mostly on sewage treatment work, your water conservation, water demand management, and your hotspot. Then we have the MWIC. Comes in there. The MWIC is only for water backlog in those areas, in the 23 prior to the end. We can use ACIP for the rest of the other DMs. You've got your MEEC, which is what everybody has known, your RD and your NWIR. The goals I've talked about and the hotspots, I want to talk about that. Okay. The RRU is a rapid response unit within the department. That we've got engineers and technical people. Is that fast?
But I think that maybe in future then, if you have your acronym,
yeah.
I think we should have your start of time,
okay.
So that you can be able to keep on.
Thank you. Proceed. Our implementation strategy has to deal with both planning, program management, and implementation. So we needed to do assessment and implementation plans. We needed to do our project plans. Feasibility studies, those are all the planning and designs that need to be done so that I can be able to program manage this properly. And we are now into the implementation stage where we are now implementing the program. I'll talk about it with that. This is where we are with the implementation framework 2013-14. We budget payment schedule was submitted by the 1st of June this year for next year. and we have developed their business plan. We have assessed some of the feasibility studies, those that we haven't approved. We have sent back those that we have approved. We said, okay, now we have approved this one and assessed your business plan. We approved those, I think, by the end of July, and we signed some agreements by the end. That was the assessment of business plan was the 19th. Then we signed all the agreements by the end of July. We adjusted our allocations now in September. Go ahead. For the next financial year, we've got two processes that we are dealing with. Because this financial year, we had to move a bit faster. We want to do things next year a bit differently, so that we can be sure that what we are doing is what we all agree on. The proposed feasibility study for next year had come in July this year as well. But development of feasibility studies also came in this year in September. It will be completed by end of September. But we want to ensure that if it's a feasibility study that needs, if it's a feasibility study that's a bit long, we want to put it to next year so that we can be able to do a proper feasibility. I'll make an example here. If it's just to go and develop a borehole, you don't need that much of a feasibility of that one. But if you have to develop a borehole, then you have to do a reservoir, you have to do pipelines, you have to either maybe in some cases have to develop a small dam, then you want to be able to do a proper feasibility on that one. That's the difference. We want all of the development and submission of BPs to be in by the end of September, and we want to accept these. The two arrows, the black and the red. The red arrow relates to what we call our second due date. The due date that he was in Dora was the one under yellow. So we want to propose a new date to say that when we meet next week, so that we can do things properly, to propose those other due dates. Yeah, no, she knows. We're meeting on the 26th. So we will propose those when we meet on the 26th, so that we do things properly. And so the due date that you see there, the ones that are in November, will change in 2018, will change to the ones that is in 2014. Because first tranches are going on, will go on in July next year. So we don't want to have to pay out money in July next year with work that is not proper. Where is our progress so far? We have number of templates that we have developed, your business plan, your reporting template, your standard agreement. We have an implementation framework we have to develop. We have met our DORA requirements. I'm sure Marissa will confirm that. We have appointed an extra capacity within the regions and head office. We support regions with our processes. We have consulted with stakeholders. We had a number of workshops that we dealt with municipalities, water boards, and other stakeholders that we did in June, July. These are the different governance tools and guidelines that we have. Your MU framework, your strategy implementation plan developed, various guidelines that we did. We also have 10 contracts for procurement of goals in some regions. The business plan template has been developed. Terms of reference for the provincial coordination planning committees have also been developed, and our standard funding agreement. This is a payment schedule as we have it in DORA. I'm not going to go through it by WSA, but I'll go through with per region, that in Eastern Cape in August, the total that was transferred was 14 million, and Free State 5, KZN 43, and the last. But the total for August, the transfers that went out in August was 106 million, and in October now, we are going to do 284 million to transfer 2 million, which are the WSA, and in January we'll do the last change for a year, which will be 211, bring the total to 604 million. progress here, we have 95% of all the agreements between ourselves as World Affairs and municipality have been signed. Why 95% and not 100%? Because some of the agreements were on sanitation, the sanitation project, whereas we were only dealing with water projects. That is why the 5% we couldn't deal with. But all of those business plans that were submitted have been passed, 95% of those have been passed. Like I said in the previous slide, the first payment has been released, and a number of municipalities have agreed to use Water Board as implementing agent. Those are the municipalities, all projects in this state are going to use Water Board to implement. Alfred Nzo in the Eastern Cape have also agreed to use a Water Board, and Bushbuckridge in Mpumalanga. Payment schedule, we've talked about that one. The workshops that we did were seven provincial workshops. We did those between June and July this year, and we targeted all WHAs that are benefiting in the MWIC. The purpose was to explain the legal framework, to discuss the roles and responsibilities between ourselves, the WHAs, and also the Water Board, and to describe our implementation plan and processes. These are the key observations that we saw when we were doing the workshop, is that there was concern from the consumers WSAs that maybe consumers will reject the intermediate solutions, like where WSA says there's no need for us to do a borehole because people don't like borehole water and all that. So that was one of the concerns that we observe. There also, one of the other observations is that there is a moving target on the backlog, because the list that we got on backlog, when you go back and try and confirm the list that you get, you find that there are a number of extra households that are without water. So we need to somehow try and finalize what the backlogs are so that we can know exactly what we are dealing with. More than 70% of our WSAs don't want localized solutions, like I said. They prefer original scheme. They also complain about the conditions and requirements of MWIC. They also say the funding is not enough, therefore therefore we will not achieve our objectives. They also highlighted the fact that they don't have funding to do operation and maintenance of this scheme. And another big thing described is also the issue of financial management within municipalities, revenue collection, that contributes to the lack of OEM funding. Limited use of Water Board. Some of WSAs tell that they don't have good relations with Water Boards that are within their region. Therefore, they're going to do it themselves and not use Water Board. And some of the WSAs that came to the workshop are WSAs that were up-targeted before the end, and they also raised concern to say they also want to be included because they also face the same problems that the WSAs that have been the 24 PMs are facing. Some of the LMs, where you find that a WSA is a district municipality, and also the LMs are not a WSA, you'll find that the LMs will normally, complain about the performance of the WSA. Planning in most of the WSAs, the planning in terms of water is really poor in some of these WSAs. And more than 25% of the WSAs indicated that they will use and contract developed by DWARF to be able to implement the program. General outcomes is that there is a commitment and support. There is a better understanding from where we are sitting. We might be wrong, but I think there is better understanding of the program objective. There is an improved relations between ourselves and WSA. And deadlines for processes have been emphasized and they have been agreed to. The agreements agency look at the policy. There is an agreement that we need to look at the policy regarding rural water supply. These are the examples that we have on the project. Sila. Just the same time to get this mail, just to show you the kind of extent of the need out there. On my right hand side, we just want to show you the how we classify our community. To say where you see the great life, it's the great, I don't know what you call it, great thing. It's where you have settlement with no intervention required. Where we say there is water and people have got water in that, in those areas. So the purple one shows us where communities are having no formal water infrastructure. Like where communities still go to rivers. And the red one shows us the communities that require extension to their existing infrastructure. And I think when you look at the map before this, you'll see that there's a lot of red in here is Oatambo, where the community we need extension to the existing infrastructure. The what's this color brownish? The brownish color? I don't know whether it's brown, that one. I don't know, yellow, orange. From me, yes, it's brown. This one, communities with access to infrastructure, but no access to water because of functionality problems. Where you have, in a number of villages, you may have, but people won't have water. That's what we talk about there. The what color is that one? Green. The green one is where you have communities with access to infrastructure but no access to water due to cost problems. So we classify our settlement like that. And if we have to look at this one here, yeah, that one, that's right. You see where there's a lot of people in that area. What area is that one? Oh, same designer, exactly. So you see the designer area, there's a lot of people. Alfred, thank you. That Alfred is though that shows lot of people. Scattered red, few areas where it's the great one, where there's no problem. And the brown, so you see that the need out there is really very, very high. Okay. Just wanted to show that with this. These are the types of how we classify the types. I think I talked about it when I talked to the yellow one. I don't want to go through each one of these and the examples that we saw. I would want you to talk to this. Okay, go back. The class one here is where there are gaps in mix, infrastructure projects. Diagram shows that there's a reservoir that's been built or will be built by mix, and it goes to the entire place, but with the entire community. But you see that community. There are small pockets of village where there's no reticulation. So MIG needs to come in there and ensure that there is reticulation in that area. The second one is extension of the infrastructure where you've got an area has been supplied, there's MIG, there's pipelines, people have got water, but you know how it happens. There's an extension now, you know, young men now have got houses, they are given land the other side. There's no nothing that goes to those houses. That's where MUSMIS come in and ensure that we extend the infrastructure in that area. Also, where in that particular area there is water, there is pipeline, but within that area there are some houses where they don't get water due to either pipelines being broken and conservation demand management, where we need to fix the infrastructure, or where we need to put in, what's it called? I forgot the name. I'll remember it. But in an area where there is infrastructure, but some high-lying areas or low-lying areas don't get water at some certain periods because because they are affected by either people up are using more water than they should. That affects the lower-lying areas, and people in the lower-lying areas don't get anything. We need to ensure that we deal with such things. Example type 4 is where we have planned your meat and your signal bulk. This needs to come there, but according to plans, area made in that particular area will only complete the project in 2070. And whilst we are busy with that project, people there need to be able to get some form of water so that they can survive up until we come to 2070. In other areas where you've got type 5, where we need to accelerate your meat to ensure that we cover everybody. And in other cases, we have the meat project is there, but the money is very little to cover everybody. So we need to ensure that we are able to optimize that. These are the kind of challenges that we have in providing farm water to us. The unit cost for rural water, particularly in KZN and Northern Cape, is very high. So it is one of the challenges that we need to deal with. There is a resistance on rudimentary localized solutions, like you said. The moving target on the backlog is also one of the challenges that we've got. Resistance for some Zambia states to use water boards is also one of the challenges. And the issue of the municipalities outside the 24DM also needing the similar intervention is also an issue. We've got lots of letters that municipalities have written to us to say, why did we get the MWIC like the others when we got the same problem? Also, the lack of revenue collection that we face with CWSA is also a hindrance. The challenge, I would say, that we need to deal with holistically between ourselves as water affairs and municipalities and treasurers. These are examples of the projects that have been submitted to us. One in Khadibu, in Northern Cape, the cost there is about 6 million, and we have only about 159 households, which brings the cost of to provide water to that household only for 244,000. And currently it comes to 63. But the one that really drives me up the wall is this one, Brihu. That says the cost there is 6 million, but we only have 34 houses, and the cost comes to 205 million per household. So, per household, yes. 205,000,
sorry. I don't see the
number. That is 205,000 to supply water to one household in that area. And the question is, do you not supply water there because the cost is too high? Or do you supply water there regardless? So it's those kind of things that we have to deal with. Because the cost that comes to applying water, it also comes to the operation and maintenance afterwards, once you've put in infrastructure. We're still talking about the cost of rural water supply in the rest of the country, not just in conclusion, we would like to say we have really carried out a lot of work in preparation for this, and some of projects have started, first transfers have gone in. I know my colleague Thomas has gone out to Northern Cape already to go and see where the pipelines are already in, the reservoir already in. I just forgotten what the area is, Thomas. Regroup in Northern Cape, where we can take one of the examples where we have used the ME funding to. The unit cost is really, and funding requirements of some of these projects are very high than what we anticipated. Considering the slow cash flow projections and limited budget in the first year, we don't see any problems for the second year. We are also confident that we will be able to implement this program effectively. As it is in the conditions that we've got, is that we will go out and check on the progress of each and every municipality where we have transferred the first tranche. So that before October now, before the second tranche go on, we need to ensure that work is going on. If work is, there's no way going on, then the second tranche won't go up. That's all I can talk about at this point. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chair, members, that's the extent of our presentation. I don't have anything further to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Fellow members, I don't know if I wanted to suggest that we take all the presentations earlier. Yeah, so that we can understand. I think the presentation will be more important. Thank you.
The one that's straight up at the top.
Yeah.
buy some juice from
it's not actually these in the pipes.
$21 million is how we break profit down based on the dollar allocation. saying that we should invent. I'm not challenging. People are not challenging things so far as more. It is fact. That the people who want to hear, all of us, because all that we want, we like to look at that department is adopted from source to care. So that when we break those walls, I don't want to say not Chinese walls, because Chinese are very
similar. Am I going to swim in South Africa?
You want to break those walls? No, ensuring that there is implementation too. Okay. It's fine, but you will comment. If you want to comment, you may not, but you may comment later when you engage it. It's fine. And then the next presentation, until the day.
Okay. Yeah, this is the other layout of my presentation. I will skip through the first bullet because it relates more to business. And then if we look at the other list of the implementing agents, project identified, we look at our execution plan progress, 2014 projects, and I thought I would also indicate the casuals because we have asked a lot of things. So I just wanted to show that we'll be able to spend some. Okay, you can see that side as well, and that one as well. Okay, then after we, on the draft presentation, there is not a two-rap. It's one of the municipalities that have opted to appoint one of us. You also have appointed a man on our website as our implementing agent, and the other that is in time between what happened or our tambour in the water for this time. All the projects that have been identified for this financial year, we've got two in Haiti, and one in England, the hill. The allocation for the 2016 financial year is 14 million, and we have a distributed opportunity shown in the slide. That is our first execution plan. So you can see the green is the activities that have been completed today, and the blue is what we have planned. We've done the procurement of the professional services provider. We also adhere to the legislative and later on better. This is our preliminary design for the 14-15 project, and for the 13-14 we have done the design and also the tender. So we are in the process of the procurement of contractor now. This is just an indication of the topograph of the areas that we're supposed to be saving water to, and it goes back to the cost per household that was indicated by Leonardo on her presentation. But we find out our sources are very far compared to the places we were supposed to put in water. The Zambia and Senegal as a whole development, this is one of the projects that we have identified in the Inkoma Hill local municipality. The Johar geological investigation has been done, and after that we realized that the holes have been drilled and 14 springs investigated. Of the holes that have been drilled, 4 were dry, and the remaining 2 yielded a commercial of 22 meters per second, which is not sufficient, so we have to go further and investigate other sources so that they can be able to provide a little. Can I get that one? Okay, this continues on the whole development of the international project. Today, the main aim of this investigation is to determine the water quality, construction, and maximum recommend yields of the site and the borehole. So we're saying the ground of potential in that area is not too good because we saw the number of boreholes and out of those boreholes that we drilled, it's only six that gave us some water, which still is not sufficient. Okay, the other two projects for this financial year is the KFD, which is 126 and 188, and that is the plan for those projects. I will go to the technical detail as the chapter has indicated. Okay, So, I need to
still struggling to get something back home.
You will have to say something.
Thank you very much. Then we are going just to rush in terms of our presentation, linking to what ourselves was indicating. That is the what we plan to go through. Can we move to the next slide? That is the Eastern Cape and where everybody is in the Eastern Cape. Can you move? That is Kripali. The site that is on my left, as I'm sitting here now, is mainly the Karoo area. The Yonobaya area, we are having eight local municipalities. And the challenge in that particular site of Kripali is that we depend mainly on raw water. That is where during this particular period our sources are drying up. We are facing serious challenge. Then on the eastern side, your normal surfaces and cigarette, former drought type. High rainfall areas, lot of deep rivers, but no infrastructure. A huge backlog. Yes, the Rubisi, your normal, yeah, lot of other areas. Now,
and
that
congressman is smiling because
no use to try to put the PUC together. Now, that is, again, what we are coming from with the department. We have worked with the department since the introduction of this grant. We had our challenges, but those challenges now are history. We are now moving forward. In terms of the way, a lot of challenges administratively, agreeing on the business plans and all that, but all those things now have been sorted out.
Okay.
And they may cause some delay. Can you? Again, the situation is that also is when business plans were combined, the approval and all that, but as I have already indicated, that is what has happened in the past. But business plan now has been signed, and we are more or less moving in the same direction with the department. The time period is indicating that surely at this point in time, we are in September now, we have not started the implementation. But moving forward, we are going to reflect on the plan. Where are we going to see that slide? Service providers. They are already, because our plans, Honourable Chair, is that we do have the forward plan for Kripali. Original schemes are there, and MWIC as an intervention is linked in one way or another to the broader picture. So that when that time comes in terms of financial availability, we easily link this original scheme for intervention to the broader picture. We also, apart from the professional service providers, we do have the learner contractors that have been working with us for quite some time. They are very free in our district, and they were taking them through. So 14 contractors out of those are going to be used in this particular process. Then there is this particular area of Kripwit, where we are saying those of service providers are going to be used for those quick wins. For example, if there is an intervention that is needed for a borehole or something that is not working that has been working, we can just tap into the availability of those service providers that are already there. But also for the MTF, public fee, we are ready, which is the value of 39 million. We are going through our processes we are going to use it. And if there is any area that is unable to utilize its own money, we will be ready, because we are ready to consume more than the 29 million that we have to No, you know the story. That particular map is a reflection of what exactly we were trying to highlight in terms of the backlog, more on the eastern side of Crisani than on the western side. Right? On the western side, the challenge of sources and the capacity of the infrastructure. Those are some of the clusters and the areas where we are going to intervene, and contractors that are going to be working. The plan of these being more user-friendly to us, you will be breaking your tongue if you try to call those. But those are the areas which are linked to our clusters as I have already indicated. The first one is a contractor that is going to be dealing with an intervention. But when you go to the Elliot tour, for example, it's very close to the town of Elliot, but it is more or less an extension of that of the service to that particular area. So this is a combination of areas where there is nothing, and you are trying to bring in this environmental scheme with few apps that are not going to meet the hard distance. In some areas, it is an area where there is a new settlement in terms of extension, so we want to extend that. In other areas, it is where our infrastructure, whatever it is failing us, whether the source is having a problem, and therefore we want to use another source. Those are the details of what I already indicated. It's just the technical work, and then detailing how we are also going to use that particular funding. The 7 million is targeting the quick wins, as I have already indicated. Those are the specifics, again, around the issue of quick wins. MTF, again, in the summary, there are factors in Switzerland, 4, 6, 7. Those proposals have been prepared by the professional service provider. There are proposals that are giving us some challenges. There are three that also need some serious attention. Leakages in the network, but also there are areas where we do have water, but in terms of storage facility or bulk, we are talking about the Jordan tanks sometimes that we are using, or concrete reservoirs. We were in some areas want to focus and assist. The professional service providers have been requested to submit recommendations. And where we are saying we are only in some areas to go on tender, just to use the available resources. Planning, as I have already indicated, will be submitted by the end of October to finalize everything. Can we move the forward planning, as I have been indicating? Those are the clusters and the areas, your cluster A, your banana, Tano, and Apam, where we are busy finalizing for future budget. Again, continuing with the forward planning, the total value of what is reflected is around 37 million, 2014. But as I have already indicated, currently the budget is 39. Again, this is history because we have communicated these challenges with the department. So we think we are going to get over this particular one. They were man-made. They don't know why you know this, but it is the area where Shukaru Susu is coming from. If you look into that area, breaking in the ties in that value, you even start, because in some areas there is no underground. And then we are struggling when we are trying to convince our head office to understand that the cost in that particular area cannot be compared to if they have found it and came down. They're fine. Can move. They don't want them to know exactly what is happening in the area. Now, then, that talks for the future. That is what we are saying. And but we are saying this particular intervention, the MOE, to us, where we were saying, we are struggling. We are not going to get there. And this intervention to us is a very good one, and we are going to make use of it. All the plans that we have to make sure that also they are not going to be standalone in for the future. It is going to be easy to integrate them to the bigger picture. Mm. Yeah, if there is anything, maybe the commissioner would like to ask quickly deal with, but that is the situation with the president.
I think it's more that the compliance of our national standards on terms of the Watershed Act, it tells about 200 meters of interstate. And we have been challenged by some communities to say, what do you have given the other neighboring communities? You know, basic level of standard, that's where the regulation, that's where the end. And you are giving us, so to say, kind of stuff like that. But I think those are some of the issues that I am mentioning. And the other issue that is constitutionally, when we talk about the right to access, I think when we talk about cost, we might then be in contrary to the constitution. I think the pictures that you have seen, I think people who are there, they were there not, you know, against their own units in some instances. So therefore, those are some of the issues, I think, probably, you know, discussions, I think, with what affairs, I think those are the issues that need to be looked at based on the particular, you know, circumstance. I think that's what I just want to, you know, to emphasize.
And the 200 meters, when you hear, it's end of station, it's some station. So, I don't know, you wanted to add something?
I wanted to talk on it because it also affects in the school. You have a high
that the kind of people also be consistent and in principle, not sometimes do it, but so that you are on the path. And my other question goes to the page of today, I think it's page 9, where you have stated that there are always today, the Oju Day. Are we sure that you won't have any sex today? Because this is something that's for the specific financial year. And that the capacity I'm covering, because we took it so well that the capacity established. I want to establish, because whenever we talk to you personally for the department, the problem is called capacity. But suddenly we have capacity for and with managers and in their teams and also at head office. So then it causes confusion because we also have problems, numerous such as problems of capacity. So I think that will address you to when you come back to us telling us about your lack of capacity, because it's very important to you that you suddenly have capacity for this new grant. And now the issue of the youth authority and the water board is already addressed, and I want to go back to it. But if you tell me which other district don't use the don't follow the line, actually told us to let low percent state they are using water board. So let's know which ones are not using water board and why. And then that page 24 gives me a problem, because if we have that calculation of mistakes, it will add to, it will give us problems, because that the calculations don't assume what's calculated. We calculated 6,5,3,9. But when you take that up to a calculator, you should see that is not calculated. And the question is, you also complain about zero. If we can know what makes that household cost, so those household costs, because so they really have, or whether it was the typing error, then we can ask it. Because the discrepancy is very, very high. If you look at the average household for the other two, they are reasonable. That one is going to be very high and affected. It definitely affects the budget. Then, I think that the others will come up. And let's not start with error, but the error is hidden. And can you know? Thank you. It's on page 40.
Any other comments? Number one.
that you will tell us that there are challenges. And if you're telling us that now everything is funky for you, then the reason
I'll repeat myself in mentioning to
the reason we have for this meeting at an early stage was to say, let us at the early stage understand, I'm sure all from Toronto will say the same thing, let us at the early stage understand the challenges in implementing this program so that we can start to resolve it. Now we don't have experience in data. We know that a lot of planning went into this. However, the presentation by Water Affairs was saying that there are plans that are ready, there are plans that are not ready. But what was not clear, DJ was to say where the plans, where there are challenges of capacity, which we are really underplaying in our presentation, to say where there are challenges of capacity, what is it that we do, what kind of support that we are giving, and I think that colleagues covered a lot on the division of revenue, which then enjoins the department to support in that. So that because what we have been having on the committee of parliament is to say, we don't want national department to come here and say, no, that municipality for service authority doesn't have the capacity. Constitution is very clear in terms of national provincial departments in terms of support by the national and provincial departments. But also to say the relationship between this program, MWIC, and the Manombas. We said we start to reach area. Now, what's the relationship between this program and our program? That you have in question of showing that there's access to water by the community. I don't know if there's no education because there's not much to say, because that there's a special dispensation for the 23 or 24 municipalities. It could have backfired as part. Also, what will be in the camp out here is, for example, when we're in Bushbuck,
policy review, which is underway at the moment, we have included an element in that policy review in terms of moving towards a standard where you initially have yard connections. So that's that you have yard connections, individual connections. So that you eliminate one of the biggest problems we have when you have these long distances is that a community is taken into their own hands and they do illegal connections or unauthorized connections, whatever you want to call it. So to try and eliminate that, we need to upscale our infrastructure and move towards the yard connection. And that's part of the review that we're doing under our policy review at the moment. But in terms of the costing on these grants, that's the RDP standard, and that's the basis on which we get the grant financing. So that's the point that was made by...
But is it for the sake of the community, which is not in the field of what? What do I have to do with this kind of
I'm sure. The RDP standard is a 200-meter walking distance, a maximum 200-meter walking distance. And let me start from the capacity. 25 meters per capita per day, 200 meter walking distance, and then there's a capacity that must be able to be delivered per second out of the standby, and then it's of an acceptable quality. So it doesn't make provision for individual yard connections. So if a municipality decides on a hard big grant for argument's sake to go for a high level of service, the cost differential between the RDP standard and the high level of service would be met by the municipality. It would come out of the wrong hand.
This might be the name I'd like to say. I remember that I'm not sure that it's a constitution. That is the
I'm not sure that's the constitution. Where it talks about the giving. And what is the name?
me to walk from distance between the two standpipes. If municipalities go for a higher level of service, that would not normally be funded out of the grant fund. So when we do our regional bulk infrastructure, which we fund, we will use those service standards to determine the size of infrastructure we're going to put in terms of bulk infrastructure and the rest of this, etc. But there's a point where our regional bulk, where we have a responsibility to stop, and the municipality will take over from you. I think Honourable Ramaphosa made a point about some areas that you visited where the department said this is where we stop and that's where the municipality takes over. And up in Makada, the Valdezia Reservoir is a point in place where we take our supply up to the Valdezia Reservoir and Makada has to take over from there and give it into the municipality. And there are quite a number of examples like that. But what we are endeavouring to do, Honourable Chair members, is that through the cooperative arrangement that we have with at the national level with DCOP, is to make sure that the integration issues are dealt with through that collaborative arrangement that we've done. Mm-hmm. And very recently we've now brought human settlement in as part of that arrangement to make sure that when we do this type of development, we don't have those gaps, which we have to recognise we have in the past, that there is that integration. So that's one of the areas that we are in. So that covers the question.
I hope that this is also from the way to cover the question that Honorable General was saying. Taking into account in terms of your last comment, the integration that we're talking about, in order to fulfill this sort of test, to the source of the
credit card
machine.
So, Chair, then just to cover the question that you raised while we're talking about the grants and who takes where to where, you asked a question around Emily and me. I would ask my colleague from National Treasury just to talk around the grants as well. But the Emily is specifically designed to deal with closing the gaps, so to speak. Those areas that are not serviced, which we won't reach in terms of the full service at an RDP level. So it's really an interim step that we're putting in place. And that's why my team, when they were doing a presentation as well, indicated that there were some concerns raised by municipalities around the acceptability of the program to communities, where they seem to be getting a lesser service. Mm-hmm. And there's always skepticism in those communities that come in with a lesser service now and say, look, it's an interim arrangement, and they think that interim arrangement is going to be a permanent arrangement for them. And one can understand that skepticism that they have. And we need to deal with that. And that's part of the communication that we have to deal with. So the MWIC doesn't replace or take over any of the MWIC responsibilities. It's really a gap filler. But what's quite clear when we talk about the budget, and these are discussions that we'll have with National Treasury as we go forward, is that we prepared estimates at the start on the best information that we had available. But as we get down there and we get to a project by project basis, we're refining the estimates and we're finding that our cost estimate when we started, and you recall we were talking about 2.1 billion, and then we had the other 2.3 billion that came in to deal with the infrastructure, aging infrastructure and dysfunctional infrastructure. But we estimated at the time to close the gap that 2.1 billion would be sufficient. If you look at case management on their own, they find 1 billion. So they can make up our full allocation out of Henry plus, to just deal with their problems. And the colleagues from Elembe who did the presentation, you could see that the numbers, that there's a big gap between what we have and what we actually require. That's the challenge we've got to deal with. With National Treasury, but in a tight fiscal environment, it's a difficult one to deal with. But we have made Treasury certainly aware of it. So then, if I could just deal with the last item, was around the water boards. Yes, the use of water boards is provided for Ndora, but it's not absolutely required. It's there, included in Ndora, to make possible for those municipalities who don't have the capacity to use the water boards. and our water boards don't have a footprint that covers the entire South Africa. So some of them don't operate within the areas we've got the 34 district municipalities. So it's not an absolute requirement. We do, however, when we see a district municipality or a municipality that doesn't have capacity, we would encourage them to use a water board if that water board has a footprint there. In the case of Chris Hardy, they've got the capacity and they're doing it through their own procurement arrangements, whereas our family are using Amatella water to assist them and back them up in terms of capacity. So the water boards are there to try and deal with assisting in those capacity gaps as well. I'm going to let the units themselves respond to that if I could. Let me and I'll supplement it if necessary. But the other question around capacity, one of the areas that we've tried to assist in capacity, and Rivata made mention of it in the presentation, was that we would put in place a term contract. We would put in place a contract for the provision of boiler equipment, which we would manage that contract at the national level, so that contract would be able to cover water board across South Africa. But you don't have to go out on tender for each village that you're going to. That's part of the capacity assistance that we give. And the Rata's team has also been supplemented with the appointment of some additional provincial program managers as well. And we'll see as we roll the program out, and we'll deal with capacity challenges as we move forward. I feel we'll come across this. It's not going to be all advanced in the park as we move forward. And the last one, if I could address, is your comments around Bushbuck Bridge here. In terms of that MOU that you have with the Mpumalanga provincial government, what we're trying to do with the Bushbuck Bridge is that we make sure that we focus our collective resources to deal with the problems in Bushbuck Bridge. And the intention there is to have all of the services in by March 2014, is that correct? Mm. Yeah. By March 2014. And that's including February, sorry. I wasn't taking any liberties there. But Chair, that you should mention. And it's to pool our resources, and some of those resources are coming from departmental own resources, others are hard big, others from MWI, to make sure that we deal with that problem in that area. So it's a combination, and it's part of that integration that we're talking about. With regard to out-of-year preparation on the budget, Rivata did touch on that, starting with the preparation for the other years, but we have to focus strictly in the 602 million that we have this year, to make sure that we spend it. We don't sit here in January next year with yourselves and say, well, we haven't been able to spend because of this and that and the other thing. So we focus here to make sure that we can move forward. And I'm sure there'll be challenges along the way, Chair, but you can see the partnership that's existing and emerging between the DMs and the department, that there's a great deal of synergy and effort we put in place to make sure that it happens. We've costing high costs for some of the household costs. You've got to look, see how we deal with that. But it's very difficult if I'm approaching or speaking to you, Chair, and the cost for the area where you say happens to be 200,000 rand per household, as opposed to 60,000 or 70,000 elsewhere. And I say, sorry, you can't get that. We go to those areas where the costs are lower. We have a responsibility to make sure that everyone gets access, but we've got to make sure that those budgets are not unduly inflated. So we scrutinise those figures to a great extent. I think I could stop there. I think I've covered some of the comments. Let me just touch on the 24 DMs. The Rodgers presentation will see the reference to 24 DMs. Quite often you will have reference to 23. The 23 are the 23 DMs which are identified by cabinet. When we worked with put the program together, there was one DM No, that's what I want to say. Chair, the focus one of the presentation from our first district was to talk to the intervention of Emu, which by his nature is a grant to intervene. And we have not focused on a variety of plants that has been there. Your MIG with its charges, your RP with its charges. We recognize the gap in terms of capacity in our own authority. But these grants are there. Working with others here, we are getting support and in terms of capacity, yes, there are still gaps. But this particular one, because it is just the one to intervene, we have integrated it to the broader picture. So that is why we, although we have raised the challenges, but in terms of capacity, when you don't have it in house, you will go to our dollar water, you will go to the service provider that you are having already in MIC and RPE. You will also get into the associates of municipal infrastructure support agency. That is what we are doing. So you, in terms of us, it might not have come out very near those particular areas, because they are covered some of the grants that we are having. The last thing that I just want to share with you, Chair, is that there are communities that even after this disaster, after the crisis, in our own areas, they are not going to have water. There is no infrastructure there. And the key thing is budget. And this is what we have been raising. Some of us, Chair, in the grant that we are getting in terms of water services, because the water services authority, their main function is water services, water and sanitation. Some of us are consuming our allocation half year. Chrisan consumed his whole allocation in February. And we're there looking for money, if there is money. This particular financial year, the same thing is going to happen. In so much that we have decided to slow down, because now there is a problem when you finish your money before the end of the financial year, because there are contracts that are going to be there for a number of years. So for us, yes, we are accepting that there is a capacity gap, but the Department of Water Affairs is working with us. So in the previous year, there were also gaps in terms of the target and spending. Agreeing on figures on that. But now we are almost agreeing with the water culture and all that around the Pastura Africa system. If this is a new process, it's looking for something close to 4 billion to deal with that. Thanks.
Well, I think I don't have to
Okay.
if there any such thing, because your introduction said the goal is to cover all the areas with more than 50 households. So how are they covered? Because if I have more than 50 households, which we all know that they are there and don't have this every week, which is a very, very, very good intervention. Do you have any support, maybe from National Treasury or what happened? Because that is the thing that is going to happen. Like you are, the WSA is already wanting to extend the grants to the areas that are not covered. Thank you.
And so those comments were for National Treasury. And that to make it easy for you, Madam Moore, is that we know we're going to the NCUPS now soon. We'll be out of all
I can do the same work, I can provide the reticulation services the bulk infrastructure that can service municipalities. And a lot of the issues that have been raised by the municipalities the other morning is because we don't have bulk services. And you heard some of them saying the boreholes are dry, or people are not happy with the standard of the borehole water. So a lot of the budget pressure we are trying to address by sending money into the RBIC grant, so that you get the water into the area, and then it's much easier to ensure there's water where there's currently not water. So that, I mean, that's just the world we're in. We're trying to get more support from MWIC so that the work is done at the local level. But at the same time, we need to understand that the real work is getting the large pipelines from the dams to those areas that are in need, because the walls are a cheaper option, but the real expensive money, and that's another, there was a question earlier, Chair, about the cost of the different schemes. It is the regional bulk where the dam or the resource is very far away that is expensive. It's not unexpensive to put the infrastructure in, it is expensive to maintain it ongoing. And if that municipality has a very small revenue base, if you put too much infrastructure, that they will never be able to sustain themselves. Now, just to remind the committee that the maintenance money lies in the equitable share. So when we do the equitable share calculations, we look at the quality level and we decide at this level people should not be having to pay for the maintenance of getting the 25 meters, and that money then flows through the equitable share. So in a sense, the maintenance is available to all the municipalities where there are poverty areas where they are not able to charge people with water. But just the last point. For us to have a sustainable supply of water in a country that is so scarce for the water, it's not as if we have a lot of water. The balance between collecting revenue where you can collect it and ensuring that you spend your money in the most efficient way is what we need to balance this thing. We can't afford to have people using water who can pay for it, but not being billed or not paying their bill. So it's that continuous balance that I think the municipalities face on an ongoing basis, how do they balance it? And the national goal in terms of the correct pricing, and maybe looking at policies for cross-subsidization into poorer areas, is another way that we should look at how to keep balance in place. Thank you.
I thought that part of your comment would say your support in terms of what Thompson Elender was saying, that they're very scared. They're trying to do it with the little resources that they have. I know that you have a lot of interest and for instance gap that are supposed to come in there.
Areas of high value projects in the past, and outside the community extended on the boundary of the existing settlement, which means informal settlements have mushroomed around that area. That's what I'm asking. Currently, she referred to something like regional park infrastructure. She was there. The other children put them on what we didn't ask. So when you say the regional bulk infrastructure can affect those areas outside there, do you mean I can write a motivation for my area and say this area is community B? It's not covered by MWIC, it's not covered by NIC. Kindly assist these people to get water within 2 weeks because they buy water, they do that's what I'm asking. And that's me that answer that. Yours will be addressed later.
Then maybe if I can respond. When we find informal settlements, we also created the in the housing grant, there is money that can provide for the pipes and the taps to those households at least 200 meters for
Adria also in that informal settlement. So there is a program that we are supporting in housing that can help that kind of community. Where the army comes in, if there's not enough water in the area, then you must first bring in more water before you can take it down. So we must understand, is that community not served because there's not enough water in the area, or because there's not enough pipes coming outside of the settlement towards the settlement. But there are more than one ground, because it's very difficult if you go into a formal settlement. Sometimes you have to move houses to get the pipes in. So they have to have a lot of community engagement before they upgrade it. And so that grant comes with that support to help the community reorganize itself, because normally there's not space inside to properly put the infrastructure in.
That I understand. It's informal settlement which doesn't have the ability to transmit those movements and all, but it is the constitutional basic basis to have water. That's maybe a trap or what, and JoJo's to be put there so that they can have access to water instead of buying 2 liters for the plant. That's what that's what in line with my question. That if you have need something, and then we get something for these people. That's why I got all that out of the week, and the thing we got to think about it and ask you the question. And if we link it to them that are sitting here, then we refer to them.
Before I come back to my question, you see, I don't understand that our people can be so stubborn when they're told that they can't get water and when this tool for them to be helped to get water. I think if you tell us which areas where you had such problems, where people have no water and people have refused to remove from that area, then we can understand. Because it can be contradictions that they go to the street and say they want water. And then when you come with pipes, you tell them, move your shack to the other side so that we can, you know, assist you to get water. And they say, no, why not move it? If there are practical areas where that has happened, we need to know that. Coming back to my question, Chair, I still want to know this problem of budget, because listening to the lady there, she said there's no problem. Goals, you can get money from these two projects. Yes, I mean, from these two guys. That's what they are saying, which is contradicting what the gentleman was saying, that they don't have money. You know, it's like, well, that's no different thing that they don't have money. Then the client came there. So I need to understand exactly where does this problem of budget come for people to get service, so that we are clear.
Making that example of parliament. May not only because I
attention for the legislation people to touch it. In the district, when we looked at the MOD, we looked at it in terms of quick win situation. And when we look at what they presented, were excluded projects that are funded by the RPs. We further excluded projects that are funded by the MIG in terms of education. We then say, how do we ensure that this special provision we address the current challenges that may enable our program access to water. And the organization that we can receive us to, let's say, how do we refurbish? Not what we say, the MOT is the government grant. That focuses on OFM at the most. That's when our presentation will be. Such as you see, the aid which you will be kept on coming, which is a capacity issue. I'm sure that's not a problem. All the three spheres, there was a big challenge. But in the moment, the two other spheres, that's provincial and local, when they talk about capacity, they won't talk about the project. It's not the case. It's not the case. We have got challenges around capacity coming in itself. Not actually. That's why we employ external service providers. So when you listen to the water promoter, you talk about service providers. You can't, when you say you don't have capacity, you can't use consultants.
No, but it's too nice to be service provider.
Service provider is consultants. So that same group means you don't have internal capacity. But that's not the problem. The problem is how do we monitor them? For them to provide quality services, where they are going, into the most has a problem of design. You know, from the money we have presented very nice report. But if you compare what we presented here, this is important for them, and make sure something else, is that something different?
Another question.
So we then need to stress that that would be like a but that's what it is. What we need water. That's why it's an honorable thing to do it. The land has every morning in the district, for example, the link. Because we need this support from ourselves so they're able to implement this project. This is another issue which I thought if it might have been an omission on our side. In terms of water provision, on implementing this the use of a water bottle, it's going to be really for the first time. That's why we said we're not using water bottles in our case. We're using short-term contracts. Thank you.
it was the innovation to nano the new water, specifically to deep learning. Nano the water does not only talk to our leaks, it's extend by the leak connections and water leaks, which partly as well has been the issue of aging infrastructure. Therefore, we are saying as far as the aging infrastructure, the water leaks in particular, as far as MWIC grants, we are allocating money to reduce water leaks from 30% to 70%, based on what we have put in the resources for that. Then the second part is the issue of the consultants. I still need to see a department in this country that doesn't have consultants. It's a question of therefore how you manage that. We do have performance contracts for them to perform at a particular level. If they do not do so, therefore the contract is terminated, whether the duration is expired or not. But of course, we have performance areas and indicators that we put in place to make sure that they perform. If they do not, therefore, then the contract is canceled. One of the challenges which was raised by one of the members about why there would be an infrastructure in terms of abstraction, reticulation infrastructure, but there is no water inside. One of the challenges is the issue of electricity. If there is no electricity in that area, you might put that infrastructure in as compared to that. According to their plan and budget, they will provide electricity in that place in the next 18 months. So if you have infrastructure lying there for producing water, but there is no energy. That's one of the challenges. I think we have to look in the issue of MWIC. Based on the issue that you have to deal with the in-situ development as far as human settlement is concerned. You therefore require to upgrade your bulk services. If you are to do so, you would need water and sanitation, especially in areas where the water table is high. You cannot therefore then implement the active standard as far as GIT sanitation is concerned. Because it says to you, if you are to implement contrary to that, your O&M, as far as disliking those GIT is concerned, will far exceed, have these 6 or 8 months, your capital investment in terms of putting up the water on the system. So therefore, these issues I think need to be really revisited. So that's why I found out what I was saying. As far as the grants and the municipal finance framework need to be reviewed, because we need to have a differentiated approach, because it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. The environment we operate in is totally different from KZN itself. The municipalities that are on the coast, the municipalities that are on the coast, inland, provinces are not the same. So we need to find a mechanism to say how do we deal with the financing model of the municipalities. Thank you.
Not a one size
it's not very clear. And going forward, because it's like we have only faced the same problems that we had before. I'm trying to be as reasonable as possible, but I don't see a clear future, because when you do a plan, you plan two stages, and when you do those stages, one is able to see where we end up and what are the possible challenges. I'm not getting that very clear, but also, you see this understanding of the dream. Unfortunately, we cannot be told that when we look at it by looking only at what. Because we have our own responsibilities as the institution. There are responsibilities for the executive, and those executive responsibilities are implemented by law. Now, what you are asking us to do, which is not part of our responsibility, we can do. Today, you must meet, must all sit under one roof and tell you that on such and such a date, all your dishes must sit under one roof. So that the problem that you have of the other ones not taking responsibility of their own responsibility is then done away. So we will continue to blame all of you whenever you come. We'll talk on those, because it is not us, it is not in the legislation that we must convene you so that you can come up with the right, you must do your responsibilities accordingly. So I don't think it's difficult. What is that this department are not doing? They must do. If it's not far, only we know that there are a number of stakeholders that are involved. And those stakeholders must sit together so that they come up with the right report. It's not us to tell them, they must do it. It's only when you have a problem, you come here and say, we try to call a meeting, to convene a meeting so that you can look at this issue. But then Department A is not willing to do that. We had such issues before in front of the committee. But at this day, we have left been told that the COPET does not want to see it or do not. So we will continue saying, Dwight is understanding on that, COPET is understanding on that, knowing very well that it's not COPTA's responsibility alone. You are different stakeholders to be full of certain function. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Madam. How much for your list? Okay. Now, we would like to close before we get a small bill fund to the thank you very much. But also to say, Honourable Member, I think at the beginning we did indicate that this is a new grant with really experiencing its different problems. And that's why we were worried that we're getting a glamour of support from the municipalities, and as well because we wanted to see what kind of intervention can be made. But as we indicated, that we will not invent challenges and difficulties where there are no difficulties. But I think that the issue that you were raising, I was beginning to come to that in terms of when you spoke, I just indicated that there are questions that I'm aware of that were not responded. And therefore, I was asking that, excuse me, the department should respond to those questions that are not responded to. But with the both about grace, manuality, and the core in the problems, we're saying that, look, the boreholes were not necessarily meant for human consumption. And therefore, that's why the ladders were that abused with when they are changing those that are transforming those boreholes into now for people not for consumption. I think it did come out if we remember. It's not the first time. That's why we are raising it here. That we are not experiencing it. It's not a problem. So the development of these issues that we need to challenge and just to get a response from. When we are raising the issue of the consultant,
they're finishing now.
When there is the issue of the consultant, we know, Honorable Mayor, that the government can't operate without a service provider. But what we are trying to run away from is whether you are employed to do a service, but you still go out and employ the service provider, provider up. Those people who are employed to do this work of facilitation and department, and still get the consultant. I was listening to the report that was presented by Mamu Kwena Mapai. The consultant of the water affairs, and then the first to say that's where we keep the thing up. So the question that Comrade Ingin that you raised about the budget, I think that is a very important question. But I think the summary of that we are saying that when it comes to NPDPS, we must be able, that is something that I would like to note, that we must come to. I don't know if you now to come and give us an answer that is not a full answer, but we want you to get a full answer that how do we assist those municipalities. I know, for instance, the human settlement, you do know that the funds are shifted, Eastern Cape can spend, those funds are shifted to a province that can spend. Now, that is the kind of a question that we'll be raising here in the West Coast, is that when people have got programs, they've got the capacity to spend, they've got everything, should they be held back because they have exhausted their own budget? I think that's why I'm saying, let's save the stage. Let's not go to rush to it now until we have a proper budget for the answer. Yeah. So,
Yeah. just want to take it. Yeah, all the stuff. All the stuff. And then today's one. I'm sure it'll fix it.
Oh,
so how do you
there's never like 100% time. But when it feels like, you know,